So has anyone ever thought about the word dearth, which, you know, like means famine, and then thought about Darth Dearth? Because I have been thinking about that and I want it to happen.
Thought girth.
Thought girth, Darth Dearth. Here we go.
Darth Famine. I mean, that's cool, right?
Been a Darth Famine? I've never heard of a Darth Famine.
You know, it could also mean dearth, also means scarcity. So true. You could use either way.
Oh man, that'd be just such a mouthful of shit though.
Darth Dearth.
Right. Like maybe like
Lord Dearth.
That's the one who just can't even pull a sentence together.
Okay, but what if Darth Dearth has a micro peen? So a dearth of dick for Darth Dearth.
That'd be a scarcity doesn't work for singulars. It'd be an amount. So yeah, you can use that.
That's like he's not getting enough dick.
Yeah.
It has we could go that way. Nothing to do with the amount of drill he's carrying.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Scarcity and famine.
Fair.
But you know,
a
it's
famine
okay.
of dick indeed.
Hi, I'm Darth Zero, and we're talking famine. About dick.
The dick famine. Darth Cogentes.
And Darth Rictus.
Here Rictus with the Darth. Is all about dick.
Jesus Christ. Yes. It's the Darth Dearth podcast.
Ever seen Clerks? There you go. Bathroom. Woo!
God, what a movie. So many people haven't seen the third one, by the way. Every time I talk to people who love the first one, most haven't seen the second, and almost none have seen the third.
Well,
what happened?
The second upset a lot of people.
Because of Rosario? Or?
No, I think because it was
wasn't
different.
Necessary.
Well, none of it was necessary.
Like none of the, Kevin
these
Smith's
were movies,
movies
made by Kevin Smith. None of them needed to happen. I'm really glad most of them did, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the second one, it opens up and it's in the black and white, and then you just see the fire, which was kind of the what was that, like the Pleasantville kind of callback,
yeah,
for a second.
Oh, but yeah,
it, in a weird way, because it had nothing to do with that moment,
right?
And then like the movie's in color, and it's just kind of like, well, we're in color now, and then they're in movies in the restaurant, you know.
It felt like I went to the Wizard of Oz, but in the wrong order, and that's what Clerks 2 was. It was still, I still enjoyed it, but it was like, imagine watching Wizard of Oz as color, and then the rest of it's black and white.
Well, I mean, they went to a completely new setting and they introduced like three new characters that were all important.
True.
And they gave them a lot of time. And if you just wanted to see Randall and Dante kicking it around in the gas station, you'd be mad, I guess, or just watch the fucking movie for what it is.
That's fair.
That's why I was happy with Clerks 3, because I got it back. I got what I was expecting out of Clerks 2. Yeah, I still liked Clerks 2. I want to get
Clerks
that clear.
Clerks 1, they had the game of hockey on the roof that you basically didn't see.
Yeah.
And Clerks 2, they did a music and dance number to Jackson 5 on the roof that you did see.
Oh, and an interesting side note, in Clerks the Animated Series, which is canon, they do put in one of the scenes that Kevin Smith couldn't do for Clerks, which is when they actually go to that funeral that they leave in the middle of the day for. And you get to see that Randall tips the casket over and stuff, and it all happens there. You know.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's like
he's talking about seeing her nipples and stuff.
And then
yeah.
like Dante's the one that gets blamed or something.
Yep. Right. And you see them running out of the funeral home after they do, and you know, just good stuff.
So speaking of legacy series.
But wait, Clerks 3. Super good.
Yes.
Super fucking good.
I will spoil this for some people that need to know. I cried more than once.
We all did.
Warning. Yeah. Warning. Yeah.
Trigger warning indeed. Clerks 3 gonna get you.
It'll turn you gay.
It will. It's
with
it's
tears. You'll never be a fucking alpha after that.
Make sure to drink Bud Light during it, I guess.
You beta ass bitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of the various series that are coming to a close, Bad Batch, we're down to the last, what, 4 episodes now?
Yep, and I'll be watching those as soon as they come out.
Because we have 11 deep. There's 15 total. 4 left. Starts tomorrow for episode 12. And early like reports of people who got to see this, they've been leaking it, saying it's the best ending since Clone Wars. I'm very, very curious.
I believe it. I believe the hype.
I mean, I keep running into TikToks because I love Star Wars too much, of the Clone Wars finale with General Kenobi's speech. And damn if it doesn't get me in the feels every fucking time.
Today's like the 20th anniversary of the introduction of General Grievous. mention another Star Wars in general.
Nice.
Well played, Grievous, with the South Park ripoff machine to get out. Yes.
Grievous kills Shaggy in Grievous's first appearance in Star Wars. It's kind of funny. Or Shaggy is the Jedi's name.
Is that what it really is?
And they're drawn just like Shaggy, exactly like them. They run out and Grievous falls from the sky and crushes them and tells the Jedi's like, I'll give you a warrior's death.
This was on that Genny T movie, the animated one.
The animated. Yep. Before they did the full clone stuff.
That's lovely.
Yep.
Grievous stronger than Shaggy. That's going to start a number of wars on the internet right there.
20 years ago. This was before the war began.
Before we knew how powerful Shaggy was. Yes, correct. Once you get a
that's
little
only
further,
Matthew Lillard Shaggy.
That's true.
The Shaggy, in my opinion.
One and only, yes.
Matthew Lillard not getting an Academy Award for best person to ever be Shaggy is bullshit.
That should be a lifetime achievement there.
Yes, I agree. We should see a lifetime achievement for Matthew Lillard on that one. Just was the one and only true Shaggy. Be fucking perfect.
I loved their casting, though, overall for the Scooby movies. I didn't necessarily like the Scooby movies, but I liked the casting.
The casting was really good. Let's go through what it was. We had Freddie Prinze Jr.
as Fred.
As Fred.
And we had
great.
Perfect.
Sarah Michelle Gellar as Daphne.
Perfect.
Excellent.
And, of course, Lillard as Shaggy. I don't know who voiced Scooby. And I can't remember who Velma was.
Velma was also in Grandma's Boy.
Okay. Yeah, but she's the blonde, but what's her name?
And she was also in The Founder.
Okay.
Oh.
She was the wife.
Yes, she was. She has dark hair, doesn't she?
Fucking Night Owl.
Good.
Fucking Night Owl just like baited again.
Yeah, wow.
As always with Night Owl. But
yeah, I forgot that her with dark hair just
fucking Batman
different.
Dunks on like knockoff Batman.
Isn't that
should have seen that coming.
It's a job. Sorry, bro.
Not as broken or dark as me. Yes.
The Founder's another fun movie I will definitely recommend to people.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, that movie's cool.
I don't think I saw it, to be honest with you.
It's like The Social Network for hamburgers, kind of.
Specifically for McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like the way that I expected The Social Network to suck, because like, oh, great, a Facebook movie.
Right.
And then it wasn't really that, you know, it was a great story. Yeah. That's kind of what The Founder is. Like, I was like, oh, great, you know, McDonald's movie, but it's not really.
It's just an interesting piece.
Yeah, it's a cool movie. I don't know how tightly to reality the script cleaves, but like it's a good story.
I'd qualify it as kind of a docudrama.
Oh, okay. I like those. Those are a good way to go, in my opinion. It's like the story you want with a little hyperbole sprinkled in to make it more watchable.
Not necessarily much hyperbole, but
more just a little
animation.
Like a band biopic, but for like asshole capitalists.
Yeah, you're summarizing a lot of things. I finally gave in. I had to spend the money to buy a new Pirates of Silicon Valley since it only exists on DVD. And the last time they were put out was 1999.
Kind of fucked up that you didn't pirate it.
Yeah.
Where than burn DVDs, bro.
To burn it, you'd have to have a copy. You can't get them. It's not even on streaming services.
Wow.
It's one of those disappearing to time kind of things, except for people to pirate.
Boot up Morpheus again.
But yeah, that's the story of... Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and their competition, and Gates just basically dogging on Jobs.
It was a really good movie. I did watch the fuck out of that one because of you. That was well put. And at the end of it, we learned the most important thing about Bill Gates is that he really, really likes fucking with construction equipment.
Yeah, a fun thing is they asked Jobs about what they thought of the movie, and Jobs said, I hated it. I did not enjoy it. It's not something that I would want to watch, but your portrayals of the characters were very accurate, and your actor to portray me did look very much like me. But like in Steve Jobs, that's a compliment.
I'm bitter with regret, but accurate.
Yeah. We sure suck.
Bill Gates had a better one. Bill Gates said,
go cry on my yacht.
Bill Gates said they liked it and then goes, yeah, you had everyone's mannerisms down. Like that's really what people were like. Just like that.
Wow.
He and his friends were gambling addicts and drunks and... What a surprise.
Either of you see the Steve Jobs movie with Fassbender?
No.
Yes, I did.
I didn't. Was it good?
No, I didn't. I was just wondering if you had. What'd you think?
It was,
I really love the memes.
It was definitely more of a drama than a docudrama. There was not a lot of fun to it. The performance was nice, but there was nothing about it that stood out to me as wanting to watch it.
I mean, there's the memes.
That would probably be the best point of that thing existing would be memes.
Okay, so it's no Magneto moment.
No.
Damn.
No. Unfortunately, it's just...
You think they'll let him be Magneto again?
I hope so. He was my favorite outside of the old one.
McKellen?
Yeah. I mean, McKellen just nailed it every time. But yeah, Fassbender's tremendous.
Well, if we follow normal young X-Men stuff, you know, Magneto can be about any age since we've de-aged him, re-aged him, reanimated him, rebirthed him.
It's got to be set in the... Like X-Men 97, where he's still... Yeah, the original thing of he was like a kid during World War II.
So what is the hype on X-Men 97? I haven't seen
it. It's so fucking good.
Yeah?
Like, the Magneto thing brought me right, because, like, that's my favorite Magneto, is the one on this X-Men 97 cartoon.
Okay, so it's worth watching.
Just remember, you're in 1997. Oh. This is Sentinel Zone and that stuff of, you know, like comic books when you were a kid.
Have you seen the old cartoon?
A little bit, yeah.
Any clips of it?
Yeah.
So like the animation style is true to it in spirit. The quality's way better, and that's a good thing. It fucking needed to be.
Sure.
Because the quality, the animation quality of that show back in the day was atrocious.
Makes sense.
But very appealing.
The stories were so good, though. But regardless, like it stays true to the visual style of it while looking good instead of bad.
I would describe it as if you took a comic book and then filled in all the movement between the panels, that's what the cartoon
very
looked
comic
like.
Comic booky. It's awesome, but like
yeah.
The first two episodes came out together, and the first episode substantially mirrors the original pilot.
Okay.
Of having like a young, reluctant kind of teenage mutant who's a fish out of water and the Sentinels are after him, except instead of it being Jubilee, it's somebody else and Jubilee's helping that person.
Okay.
And kind of, you know, introducing the prejudice against mutants and sort of setting the stage for where we are.
Sure.
And then the second...
Kind of like a last
the
season.
The second issue... Or issue, yeah. It is very much like a comic. The second episode... is Magneto on trial at the United Nations after voluntarily turning himself over to trial to prove that, you know, he's like honest and can be trusted as a leader because Xavier put him in charge of the X-Men before leaving the planet.
Okay.
So we go for the trial of Magneto, except that the protesters outside don't like that Magneto's getting a trial. So they January 6th, the UN. And the X-Men have to, like, save the UN from the January 6 rioters, basically.
P.S. X-Men 97 has a lot of parallels with many things, you know, going on.
And this start, like, when it there's whatever. Everybody knows about Magneto. They don't focus that much on the prosecution because we all know, like, the history of Magneto and his fucked up shit.
Sure.
So his defense is basically he just starts speaking. And from that moment, like, a lot of shit happens from when that speech starts to when that speech ends.
Okay.
It starts inside of, like, this UN giant assembly courtroom, and it ends in the atmosphere above Earth.
Wild.
And are you sold? A lot of shit happens.
Are you sold already?
Yeah, I'm going to be watching it.
It is the best fucking Magneto speech. It is, like, the best speech I've ever run into in X-Men. It is so fucking cold.
And as a change that some folks are a big fan of, there's a lot more top male nudity.
Yeah, there's a lot of super queer-coded shit, including Magneto. Magneto is looking as fucking fabulous and extra as ever. It's no more helmet because he's not worried about Charles, who's long, flowing hair.
Oh, flowing
and
locks.
He's wearing like this this big purple like sleeveless thing with just like says M in really big, like Mugatu looking almost.
Except it points just right down his crotch.
Right down in his crotch. So this like this velvety purple looking thing. But also, even though it's a sleeveless kind of tank look, he is wearing sleeve gloves that go almost up to his armpit that are also purple. Still got a cape. That's purple and pink.
Love it.
And he's flying around like, so just fantastic. Fantastic, super queer coded, and many of the things in that show are, which is upsetting all the right people.
Perfect.
I mean, just for example, Morph is in the show.
Who's Morph?
Ah, you might not have watched that much of the original show. Morph is a shapeshifter similar to Mystique, that okay. They can assume different forms. Morph's powers are a bit different.
How so?
They assume more of the abilities is what I've understood of how they're writing it.
So like a mixture into Rogue almost?
They don't take powers away. They just turn into things.
I don't think Morph's an Omega level mutant.
Okay.
So there's probably a limit. You know, like if Morph becomes Magneto, he can probably throw some wrenches, but not like a bridge.
Right.
Like, you know, if Mystique became the Blob, Mystique would still have get hit and it would hurt.
Right.
Morph can turn into the Blob and get hit and laughs it off like the Blob.
Okay. So fine taking lower level power, but cannot take Omega level power.
I don't know if Morph's Omega level or not.
Yeah, they haven't gone into it.
Yeah, not that many mutants are, and that's what it means, is that there's no upper limit to their power.
But the important thing is they brought in is they've made it very specific. Morph is they.
Oh, yeah.
That's the big thing, is just going, look, we have a person who shapeshifts. It makes sense they're non-binary.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sure people are furious.
Oh, so many angry people out there. So many angry.
Oh, God. The amount of times I've had to listen just in the last weekend to people talk about the woke teaching problem. Holy fuck. Why does anybody get upset about this stuff? It just doesn't make sense
to me. Because they're afraid of it?
Like, who gives a... Just whatever. We literally... Here's the thing. Like, when you get married, most people change their last name. And everybody's fine with that. So clearly we're fine with changing names and we're fine with... Oh, God. It's just so stupid. It's so stupid.
If you apply logic to these types of things, you'll find that all there is mental gymnastics.
Don't they love a motherfucker who goes by Slash?
Mm-hmm.
Like Slash the guitar player?
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that's his fucking name.
Right, but that's what everyone has to call him.
The drummer from the Beatles, Ringo Starr.
Right.
Richard Starkey.
It only works if you're a straight white man changing your name to something kind of cool for other alphas.
I mean, look at history. Most of our like famous people. Look at right now. How many people in Hollywood is that even their name?
Lady Gaga, definitely not.
Oh, go.
My favorite is when we talk about rappers. We get to talk about like the grown man who goes by DaBaby, not to be confused with the grown man who goes by Lil Baby.
I love. There was I can't remember the song. It was one of the Billboard toppers, but it starts with this rapper talking about Lil Bump. And realizing he has no idea who Lil Bump is, and he has to go find out who Lil Bump is.
What?
He's like, Lil Bump's dead. Had to Google. Like, and that was part of a song that was at the top of the Billboards less than a year ago.
A little fucking fentanyl, I guess.
Right, a little bumping out.
Is there a little Fenty?
I don't know, but there should be.
That would be in such horrible taste. I don't know if we, like, have we gone past the rap in the most horrible taste?
Yes, I think we're past. I think we're past the most
Who's
horrible.
Who's that Gucci Gang motherfucker?
Which one?
The one who had the track that was just like Gucci Gang, and like that was it.
Are you talking about Gucci Mane?
No.
That's the only one I know. Yeah.
He had one other track that he had features with Lil Wayne on.
Okay.
And Kanye, I think.
I do not know.
And okay. It just kind of popped up and disappeared.
Yeah.
Like many a rapper.
Yeah.
One and done's.
By the way,
but it was like he had some lines of like, I've never had a job and I don't know how to read.
Oh, wait, did they? Wait, was all of this, was that Lil Bump thing in the actual song? Or was that just a trivia about it?
It was in the song.
Okay.
Yeah. God, I'll have to find the song.
It's, no, just someone rapping about it. I had to Google it. Sounds hilarious to me.
Yeah. It was fucking fun.
I don't think I've ever heard someone's, and then I got to Google it.
I had to learn Lil Bumpy's name. Yeah.
Oh. What's the dude that does like he's like the weird owl of rapping kind of?
Lil Dicky. Fucking love his shit.
I could see Lil Dicky like fitting in. Then I gotta Google it and somewhere in there.
Lil Dicky's
okay. They might have done that
TV show. It Dave, which is his real name, is the funniest shit. He actually got Brad Pitt on a cameo for that. I didn't think he was gonna pull it off, but my god, that show's tremendous.
Speaking of Brad Pitt, let's look at those. Let's not go with the Lady Gaga's and those things. Let's just look at your Brad Pitts, your Nick Cage's. None of those are even their names.
Nick Cage, yeah, right, because
he's a Coppola.
He didn't want the Sicilian shit going on.
He didn't want the Coppola name to be like holding him back. I mean, Jason Schwartzman, another Coppola.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I mean, if we go through these, like hardly...
Man, wrong conspiracy. It's the Coppolas that secretly run Hollywood.
Hardly anyone in Hollywood is going by the real name. Robert De Niro, that's not his name. Al Pacino, not his name. You know, like
you're shattering my world right now. I had no idea any of these weren't their
names. Maybe Pacino is. Maybe it's Walken whose name is really that. But
it's Christopher running. Yeah.
Set that one up. Yeah, and this isn't like people going from like Nicholas to Nick. This is, they just have completely different names. In fact, Mel Brooks, his name's fake.
Touche. Touche. Yeah, I mean, I understand the appeal of it.
Or something.
Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
It's not his name.
Yeah.
Nice. And yet somehow, all these people that came from that generation have an issue.
Yeah, it's a stage name. And it's like, yeah, but stage names are different because...
Things.
The stage. Wait, no. What? No, I'm against people being on stage. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's one of those things. Ah.
We all have phones. The world is the stage now.
I love stages. I love a good drag show.
I had a boomer once. This was in like 2015 when I was man bunning hard.
Yeah. Ooh.
And I had a boomer come up and just tell me like all at once of, thinks the man bun sucks, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I'm going to keep wearing it. And then she's like, well, you know, when I was younger, everybody hated the long hair on men. But like, I wouldn't date a guy unless he had long hair. But like all the older people just didn't get it. And it was awesome. But you've all ruined it with this. And she's like, she is not seeing the irony of this.
Not even a little.
That she has become the character in her mind that she's mocking.
Yep.
And oh God, that was
so a Karen.
So fucking
became the
funny.
Karen she feared to become.
Oh yeah, and
now you're just a Karen.
I don't know what having like long hair in the fucking 70s would have been like. Probably fucking super awesome.
Yeah,
but having a man bun in 2015 was pretty fucking good.
I remember being at the Sturgis and being called a hipster for playing Magic.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Well,
like, you goddamn hipsters ruining our rally. Like, we don't want to be here either.
Oh God. Isn't that such the vibe? We were at a table completely by ourselves outside. While there's like music playing from a bunch of different directions. It's noisy. And we're just quietly playing some cards. And yet motherfuckers have to be loud enough to be like, they're just ruining it.
Like, anyway, we're going to burn down the fucking place. God,
isn't that just the fucking attitude through and through? Here we are, minding our own business. Way the fuck, you can't hear us, you can't smell us, you got to really look our way to see us.
Yep.
They're ruining it.
They were big mad about it, too. God.
They were. It made the games all the sweeter.
Yeah, I would say those would probably be some quality games of Magic. I hope it wasn't even playing Magic. I hope you're just sorting cards.
Oh,
we were running like some kind of affinity deck.
Oh, okay.
This was right after the pro tour I went to in Vancouver on my way back.
Okay.
Was where I got dropped off. So no, we were chilling. We were having a good time. It was far better than dealing with the Disneyland trap that is Sturgis.
It's not even a good one though, because like it's been a long time since I went to a Disney theme park or some shit like that.
Sure.
But I remember that like the food was at least good.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not awesome, but at least pretty good.
Yeah.
And dude, at Sturgis, everything sucked.
Everything. All they wanted to do was sell you $20 t-shirts saying you'd been there. That was the whole point of Sturgis, was to buy the shirt that said you went.
Or a bunch of shirts, shit.
Yeah.
Everybody comes here every year to get their stock of shirts to wear.
Oh, man, it was so hot. You couldn't get anywhere on the bike or not on the bike because there's so many goddamn bikes.
Ugh. Right. You're not getting anywhere and you can't park anywhere. So
you got to ride these school buses. The windows are open. There's no AC. We get every motherfucker who can is running their engine. So it, like, in addition to being in the desert where it's flat in the summer when it's hot and the sun's beating down, we're also running every engine we possibly fucking can.
Do you have your own little smog zone?
I mean,
it's kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
I imagine there's a perma dust cloud.
Yeah. It was
like when it was that hot, I was wearing like leathers because they like normally would make it way hotter, but they were shielding me from the heat coming off the machines.
Yeah.
Wow. Sturgis sucks.
Like the highlight was a weird back alley strip club we stumbled into and looked around and stumbled back out because it was not that appealing.
It was kind of funny for a minute how sad it was.
It was real sad.
It was like they tried to fit a strip club, like a whole strip club, into a tiny diner's worth of space.
Yep.
Oh.
And like they were trying to run
no elbow room
three dancers at a time in that amount of space. And it was just like nobody was getting a break or going anywhere. It was just kind of those three nonstop. And so everyone's kind of tired. There wasn't a whole lot of enthusiasm. We went to take a smoke. You know, the dancers came to smoke with us. Like,
was it kind of like the Juice Bar Strip Club that was downtown, used to be downtown in Ames?
I don't know. I haven't been to that many of these joints. I've been to like maybe five.
Right there, right across the street from like Patty's and all that stuff, Mickey's and things. Right there was a strip club down there.
What?
Yeah.
In Des Moines. I know I went to one in Des Moines with y'all once.
Yeah.
Yes.
Des Moines had the Lumberyard.
That was the torment the person who turned 21 kind of joke back then.
Yes, it was. As the one who got tormented. Yes, it was.
Your fault for turning 21.
Very much so for thinking that was the right move at 21. Especially given 18.
Well, that's why it works, because no one thinks of that. They're like, yeah.
Well, yeah, I had precedent. 18 did not go so hot on that front either. So I had precedent to know what was going to happen.
And yet all the masochism.
Yeah.
And yet all the masochism.
Oh, that was a wild. Plus, our bus driver was so fucked up. Oh, my God. That bus driver almost killed us. They were busy just bumping fucking lines in the parking lot and then trying to drive through that blizzard at the end of the night.
Heady days.
Yeah. Yeah. To be 21 again.
You can be. Chaos. For just $9.95 a month, we'll send you this cream that will slowly give you Alzheimer's. And then you could be 21 all the time.
That's the secret. Just got to lose your mind and then you can regain your youth. I knew it.
Why does everything hurt?
Lose yourself in the music.
Every time I look in the window, there's some old bitch mean mugging me.
That reminds me of Waiting and the old guy from that.
Yeah.
Oh God.
You haven't seen Waiting, enjoy watching that movie. You will enjoy it if you're a millennial. If you've ever worked in the restaurant industry, you're going to love it too.
Young Ryan Reynolds, need I say more?
Not even that young.
Youngish. Definitely younger.
Young for his career, for sure. We're talking about some shit that's going on 20 years ago.
That's like pre-5 Hollywood mistakes from him. Because there were so many. In and out of Hollywood jail, Green Lantern, X-Men Origins, all that jazz.
Well, don't forget he did a serial killer movie in the 90s. It was a comedy serial killer movie.
Never saw that one.
He did the Amityville Horror, and it was not good. he did The Nines, and it was remarkably not good.
And then eventually figured out he was Deadpool, and that was the role he was born to play.
Van Wilder made him just super up. That's what set everything in play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll just keep making stupid movies, but he's not Jim Carrey.
If I just talk the way that I talk and, you know, do that, I'll get roles all the time. And if I'm in good shape, apparently they want me in action things. Okay, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, shredded, slightly higher pitch of voice, witty. That's all anyone wanted from Ryan Reynolds.
Making straight guys kind of gay since fucking whenever.
Please, no, Ryan Reynolds is super cool, though. He seems like a pretty classic nerd. I'm sure that you could sit there and nerd out about X-Men 97 with him.
Have you not seen the Welcome to Wrexham documentary?
No, I haven't gotten around to watching that.
Oh, man, it's a lot of fun. A lot of background on, like, Ryan Reynolds and how much he pissed off his wife getting a soccer team.
I'd heard about that.
It's a lot of fun. Also, Rob McElhenney. Like, I'm always about that shit. That dude's hysterical. It's Always Sunny in Philly meets Deadpool, just the perfect mix.
So it's Always Sunny.
Oh, 100%.
Deadpool fits right into that world just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of them.
Charlie and Deadpool would get along.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Charlie would have made a good driver for him, in fact.
Yeah. There's a multiverse where that's happening. I support that.
Someday we'll have AI that can write it for us and produce it. It'll
maybe.
Be perfect. AI's getting there slowly but surely.
Kind of still pretty dumb. It's kind of like an auto predict text on your phone. That's what AI is.
I kind of hope we just pull the plug on letting generative AI do anything before that happens.
Well, it'll be water dependent at a certain point. Isn't that the issue with AI is that it takes a certain amount of fresh water to keep those fucking servers rolling?
And along with the general water shortage in the world, which who was it in The Big Short who told us that this is, wasn't it Barry in that?
It would be the one that made all the money.
Yeah, he's the one who
and
said
shorted water.
Right after The Big Short thing, the next great short is going to be our desperate need for water is what's going to occur. That's going to be our crisis. So he was just telling everyone, this is what you bet on.
It made me leave that movie with the same feeling as when I left Oppenheimer in theaters. Where I'm like, well, fuck.
A little warm and fuzzy inside?
Nope.
What a fucking species we are, right?
Right. Like, we sure are going to do the dumb thing at every turn, aren't we? Okay. I'll try to be one of the ones that makes it through the dumb era. That's where we're at.
Maybe make it a little less dumb.
Right, right. Like, make a few improvements, survive what's coming, hopefully. Yeah, that's what's left of the millennials.
And come on, what's surviving?
Absolutely. Otherwise, what is the point of surviving? Let's be honest.
It's the Donnie Darko speech. What's the point of living if you don't got a dick?
I understand that speech.
That was Jake Gyllenhaal's very early career. And that was a mid-90s? Yeah, I think that was a mid-90s classic.
I mean, my dick is...
Darko?
Donnie Darko.
Was that old?
I think it was. Maybe it was 99 with everything else, but I could be wrong.
I wonder if it didn't come out in that, like...
I thought it was, like, between 94 and 96. Cluster.
Yeah, there the was turning like the, of the
like,
tide.
All the shit, like, from about, like, some of 98 into 2001 and, like, got killed by 9/11. There was some kind of fucking, like, magical energy on shit for a minute.
It was awesome. A lot of bangers came out in that era.
Yeah, like the big number was doing us good for a minute.
Like 99% certain Donnie Darko was in the 90s.
It has a vibe to it that would really match that, yes.
Well, Donnie Darko as a movie is set in the 80s.
Yeah. But the vibe to it...
On October the 30th.
Like the way the film, in part. The way the cinematography is very 90s. They take a lot more time to develop, you know, B-roll and storyline.
You mean good filmmaking?
Right, the thing that we lost. Yes, yes.
That quality thing where it's, what are we doing? We're establishing the shot. When do we get to the we're going to establish the shot of the school bus for 3 more minutes, motherfucker. Yeah. You know what? Here's going to be some dust on the road. Yeah, and we're going to have a song kick in here. Uh-huh. We're going to pan slowly up to the bus, and then we're going to go seat by seat through the bus, but no one's still going to talk. It's just going to be imagery.
The beauty of 90s shit is it like, even though that period of time ended, it's kind of like you never run out of 90s shit somehow.
It's kind of true.
There's always somehow more that you didn't hear about.
It's because they're magical.
Got like a sleepy kind of vibe to it that I really appreciate, given how frenetic the energy is with movies these days.
Do you think like Kurt Cobain fucked up a monkey paw, and that's why the 90s are like endlessly deep if you keep going?
I mean, he certainly made the last shot, so who knows?
Didn't Cobain's daughter, Bean, just turned like 30?
Yes, something like that, yeah.
There's something to think on. And okay, that's quite a while ago.
I was unaware he had a daughter.
Yeah.
I saw
Frances Bean, I believe, is
a video
name.
Of Courtney Love performing Celebrity Skin with Green Day for what looked like a private party or something.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, it was cool to see it happening. But it looked like it wasn't real. Like it looked like a bunch of people that were having a really great Halloween party.
Okay. Touché.
So this band is great in their costumes. It's really the band. Okay, yeah, right.
Like they're giggling so much too, you know? Like there's not really any rock star behavior. They're just kind of like acting like late middle-aged parents, basically, playing these songs.
That makes sense.
Nice. It's the right kind of vibe for that.
Yeah, it's a cool video.
Nice. So, have you guys, taken a look at Thunder Junction?
No. The only thing I know of magic is I threw that Wake Root Elemental or whatever into Devotion, and then I put a second one main.
And you like it?
Yeah, because I've got the Archmage Tutors. I'm just like, at any point in the game, I mean, like, after turn 4, pretty much any point in the game, you just go, oops, I win.
Right?
Oh.
Now, has it replaced Ulvenwald Oddity for you?
No.
Okay.
I've got a 2-2 split right now between those and two of the wakes. That's where I grab the slots instead of just 4 Ulvenwald.
Okay. That makes more sense. It's the new set is going to give some interesting pieces into a number of formats. My favorite, though, for the flavor is, Shoot the Sheriff?
But not the Deputy, right?
Yeah.
Is it a kicker? Like if you it, can you also shoot the deputy?
No, although they do have a gold card that rewards modal, specifically modal.
Ooh.
Right, it's not in Jund. Well, I was super upset.
I was about to say, look what you're getting for Jund.
No, no, they put it in a different color scheme entirely. Yeah, then, and it's a tricolor too. So I'm like, if you'd put it in Jund, this would have been fucking perfect.
Well, now it can't even make it into the cube.
Yeah, this design philosophy results in so many heartbreaks.
It really does. It really does. There's a lot of cool gold cards in it though, and most of them aren't going to be standard playable, but they're absolutely going to be fun in cube.
Oh yeah,
if they're allowed.
But the shoot the sheriff thing is you can kill anybody but an outlaw. And on the flavor text, it goes, everybody else is fair game.
Okay.
Like, perfect. You can shoot
this makes me think of the Deadlands card game from way back in the day.
It's got those vibes.
Okay.
Yeah, it really does. But I don't know. It's going to be an interesting set, at least. And
is Oko a sheriff? Because I really want to shoot him.
I don't think they put him as that planeswalker type. Also, this time as a planeswalker, super underpowered.
Oh, still a planeswalker. Boo.
Yeah, super underpowered. All the walkers in the set, super underpowered.
All I've seen from that set actually is the illustration of Oko, where it looks like they just took the old Oko and slapped a cowboy hat on him.
Yep.
Like he's still dressed like Aladdin with the abs out. They couldn't make him look more Western. They just like put a hat on this motherfucker.
Just super lazy.
But they missed the part they really needed to put a cowboy hat on, which was the reprint of Terror of the Peaks. Because they're bringing back that 5/4 dragon, you know?
Okay.
And the art is fantastic and lends itself perfectly to a cowboy hat, and they just didn't put it on. So everybody's been pushing it on Twitter with a cowboy hat, like, drawn in, and it looks way better.
Maybe we'll get back to the days of Magic where drawing on your cards was fairly common.
The altars?
Yeah.
Those were cool.
Just when you draw in your own things, you're like, I'm just making this better.
A lot of the rares, you could just do that to basically no loss. It seems like it's not like I've really fucking kept up with
Yeah.
You know, like we buy some cards for the cube.
Right.
And the general theme is the rares are cheap as shit.
Yes.
And even if they're rares that get a lot of use, they can still be like pretty regularly sub $3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not 33, right?
Right.
Less than $3. Bucks,
that's draw
and
time.
There's just like a small handful of cards that cost a dumb amount of money.
Yeah.
This year.
This. Right. Give it a few years. And now that we're finally going to get to rotation, not with this set, but the one that follows it. And rotation is always going to be lose the last three sets, apparently, or last four sets. Like, you lose the last year.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I don't know what they're doing. Like, I remember the good old days when it was, what happened? Well, we finished this block.
Right.
No, we finished this block, and that block drops off.
Yeah.
Like, we've got this block and that block, and the block drops off, and this block, you know.
It's supposed to function like that. Like, when we get to mid-2024, we drop out all of 2022. And then when we get to mid-2025, we drop out all of 2023. That's the rotation they're aiming for.
That's what they're aiming for. Okay, we'll see if that happens.
It's hard to say because it's not like WotC or Hasbro are famous for making good decisions about anything.
Or consistent decisions.
Right. It's,
yeah. That's what I said, like, what I meant when I said I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
they did just have to scale back the RCQs because they realized if they let stores run multiples, they didn't have enough room for the number of players that were going to queue.
I love their problems. Their problems are so fucking dumb.
I know.
Just too many people want to do this shit that we keep fucking up. How do we handle it?
Take more away. Make it smaller. Make fewer. Like, wait, what?
This is not 6 months after, like, we have to revitalize competitive play. It's a problem. We have to bring it back. Yeah. And they're like, and then they did because people were interested.
Like, we got to charge more to join the tournament if there's this many people showing up. Let's make it cost like $60, or maybe it already costs that, like $160.
Yeah, I think you're paying $60-$65 for a constructed event, like at a Grand Prix.
We'll give you four of the foil this time.
No, they won't.
They're not even the cool old days.
No, they would, but they'd be like a bad foil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like on Arena, they just gave us one with nothing on April Fool's Day. It would be shit like that.
Yes.
it might be exactly that, like a play set of foiled out one with nothings. With really bad art that objectively nobody wants, and it's going to be in a secret layer that comes out before they're even available.
I'm really sad we haven't seen a 421 with Stonebrain. We should get a secret layer with that.
I don't think they're going to fuck with that.
They won't do the drug thing. They're anti.
I think the majority of Magic players probably are straight edge.
Really? That feels like a shift from when we were young.
Well, I mean, when we
were
young,
most of them were drinking
like,
then.
I wasn't, you know, fucking around with substances when I was in like junior high.
That's fair.
Or like, for the most part, the first half of high school. And, you know, some people are better than that.
Sober, at least.
You know, some people just never get into it. But, like, yeah, I think there's a shitload of people that they don't want any alcohol. They want maybe some Oreos or something.
You've run into a lot of those at, what's it called? The event with 100 cards.
EDH?
EDH.
Commander?
Yeah, Commander. There we go.
I thought the point of that was to drink a beer while you played a too
long
game of Magic.
Most of the people are sober.
Yeah, the beer drinking Commander players are usually guys that have been dads for like the last 12 years.
Yeah, they're having a blast. But a lot of your Commander things are people getting together because there's youth that come to some of these.
Yeah, like the
like you have high school students and stuff that drop into this stuff.
Every description I've ever heard of drinking beer and playing Commander, like I've had some drink beer play Commanders where we're outside around a table with like 10 people and it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
I played drinking Commander in Vegas once.
Nice.
So did I. But like, almost every description I hear of other people playing Commander and drinking with a group of friends is like, it's in somebody's basement where they've got a whole room tricked out for it. And there's like a table and the table is like a pool, like a luxurious pool table,
yeah.
Except, you know, there's places for the cup holders and all this crazy shit. Like it's this incredibly curated thing.
Sure.
With all these motherfuckers where they're just looking around and the dad energy is so strong, like no one's going to spill a drop of anything.
Yes.
Everything will have a coaster under it. Everyone will relax about it. The temperature will be the same the whole time.
Not altogether dissimilar from like Dungeons and Dragons the groups that still gather. Because a lot of them aren't drunk through it.
That's fair. That's fair. And I mean,
dinner will be brought worse.
I feel like it's the natural.
Everyone put on your bibs now.
It's like a natural evolution from poker nights to EDH nights. You know, it's a little bit more individualized. It's definitely more fun.
Yeah, but poker nights, you're like, no, there's drinking and there's substances. You will deal with it.
Poker gets, from what I understand, far more cutthroat than Commander tends to.
You'd be surprised. A lot of poker is mostly people who are drinking, having fun, and just having fun. Not as cutthroat as you think.
I've never there's usually at least a cutthroat player at the table. Over a game of Magic, though. Like, like the most famous thing I can think about Wild Bill Hickok is that he got shot over a poker game. No one ever got shot over a Magic game.
True.
No, but many people got their butt cracks published.
I mean, I've seen a fight happen because of a Magic game. I've seen two people get that frustrated. The other one dived across the table. They start a fight. They're
punching.
I've
seen somebody launch a table.
Yeah,
that is as far as I've got.
Launch a table like that video that was online where he processes after the whole like you're fucked, but you got to like double check that you're fucked because maybe there's a way out. But you've already performed that analysis and you know there's no way out and it's sinking in. And then it hit like, I'm losing. Wow. Maybe that's our Bill Hickok.
It really is.
I don't even have I've seen that video so many times. It's just funny.
And there's a certain number of players that have launched deck boxes at other players.
Oh, people have thrown shit at the walls. That's like,
in space, no one can hear you throw your deck.
Although Magic in space, if you were just had the thing still, is like, okay, I'm going to tap it. Oh, no, shit, no, I'm trying to get it to stop moving. Shit, no, it's spinning. I give up.
So many people threw decks.
So many people threw decks.
That was such a thing for
I've seen people toss their constructed into the trash.
I've seen people try to light an all foil tooth and nail deck.
Like the videos from the last several months that like I've been seeing coming through of like a bunch of motherfuckers just smashing their TV because the sports didn't sports right.
Yeah, Cowboys fans. That was their trope that went like full national this year and everybody was doing it.
And it's just, yeah, like video after video after video after video that pop up from time to time. So, like, is that their version of throwing a deck?
I mean, whenever the Cowboys lose in the playoffs is the best time to sell TVs. That's what I've learned. Because they are going to have to replace thousands.
I'm betting most of those folks just have the TV sitting around and use the one they've got. Like, no, this is the crappy one. This is the one that's in the closet not being plugged in.
So, if you're a deck throwing type, you've got something fundamentally in common with Dallas Cowboy fans.
Yeah. Ha ha.
Both of you suck.
That's, yeah. I mean, what that commonality is could be up for interpretation, but there's a fucking through line in there.
You got to let them fill the joke in themselves.
From one to the next, like a human centipede going in a circle.
But they'll fill it in with another thing.
Wait, so the Dallas Cowboys are a human centipede. Okay. Okay. I'm following now.
Circle.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the way their social media is.
They're an Ouroboros.
Yeah. Well, yeah, except like, yeah, so
they're eating their own tail.
Just going the other way too, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, if you look at the social media sites and the fan sites, like it does feel like a human centipede scenario where there's like, here's hyperbole, and then the comments are shitting each other or shit on each other, and then they'll take those comments, screenshot them, post it up as a new comment, and shit on that person. And it just continues.
I shit on the shit.
It
shitted on the shit for your
right.
shit.
You'll get like fucking 20 posts deep through the comments where people are just going after each other.
Do those.
Damn. I was just thinking for a minute, like if you had sequel after sequel for Human Centipede,
yeah,
and it had to get just to a more and more ridiculous number at some point,
yeah,
that we would build like the Human Particle Collider. Where it's like multiple miles of it, and the idea being that like after they've processed the same stuff through, it'll eventually travel the speed of light.
That's it.
And we're fucking doing prayers to the old gods as the ground cracks, because fuck it, why not? That always spices some shit up a bit.
That does. That brought me back into it. I was out of it, but then we got the biblical stuff. I'm like, okay. Ragnarok it up.
As the shit flies around the circle. Mm. Yes.
Reaching the shit speed of light.
Yes. Oh, perfect. The shit speed of light. Good night.
Peace.